Well, I want to talk a little more this morning about our relationship with Christ and our yoking up with Him and learning to live like He would have us to live. Now, the way He would have us to live is like He lived. And as we watch Him and watch Him closely, we learn how that Christ would have Christians to live in this world. I believe that Jesus came into this world and lived among men in order to set before us the perfect example of a Christian life. We see in Christ what God is and what man ought to be. And when Jesus shed His blood, He did it for the specific purpose of wrought a work in our hearts that would enable us to be that way. Live that kind of a life. Now He says, take My yoke upon you and learn of Me. Nicodemus spoke of Jesus as a teacher come from God. And He came to teach us about God and to teach us about living in this world. Now the things that Jesus taught are livable, I'm sure, because He was living them. They passed right through His own soul and on out to us. And He was living them as a man. Not as the Son of God, but as a man. He met life as a man. And He met the problems of life on the same plane that we must meet our problems in life. He met the devil on the same grounds that we must meet him. When the devil came to Him and said, if You're the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Jesus never answered him, it is written, God, or it is written, the Son of God, or it is written, the angels. But He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. He met him just as a man. And on the same plane that you and I must meet him. In the 4th chapter of John, in verse 34, I believe, Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. Now that was His life. Jesus had a definite aim and purpose in His life. And if we would learn of Him, we would learn the importance of setting a definite aim and purpose for our lives. We should not face life as a ship without a rudder. And as a pilotless vessel on the sea of life. We should have a definite aim in life. Meat here is spoken of as representing life itself. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. That should be the definite will and purpose and aim of every child of God in our lives is to do the will of God and to finish His work, the work that He's given us, whatever it costs us to do that. Now, you know, it cost Jesus a great deal to do the will of His Father and to finish His work. And our aim should be to fulfill that purpose in life regardless of what the cost is to us. And what it means for us to do that, or whatever sacrifice that we must make. I remember Jesus said again in the 9th chapter of John in verse 4, in regard to His work and His life, He said, "I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. For the night cometh when no man can work." Now we're all facing that night. The time will come when we will lose our ability to work. We'll not be able to do the things that we maybe had in mind to do. Then God would have us to learn from this little thought of Jesus, from watching Him live and carry on the work of His Father, that it is important that we redeem the time. Time is important to us. And it's important that we make the best use of our time. And that we work while we have a chance to work. The Word of God says, "Whatever your hands find to do, that do with your might." Be ready, be alert. Be willing to do whatever falls to hand to do. And do it energetically. Do it with your might. Realizing that time is short. The night cometh when no man can work. And that we will, in due process of time, come to that point where we will not be able to do the things that we had in mind to do. Now, Job said something like this. He said, "Where is now my purpose?" He had a purpose, but he said, "It'll rest with me in the bars of the grave. My purpose, whatever it is, it'll go down with me when I go down. The important thing is for me to make the best use of my time in fulfilling my purpose while I'm here and able to do it. And while I'm able to carry on, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day." We have Peter writing in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter in verse 21. He says, "For even hereunto were ye also called." Now we were called to something. The one who called us is our Lord. Christ has called us to something. Amen. Then He went right out into it and showed us how to go through it. "For even hereunto were ye also called, for Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he was persecuted, threatened not, but committed himself to Him that judgeth righteously." God help you and me to learn something here. Amen. We meet these kind of things in our lives. We meet with reviling. We meet with persecutions. We meet with oppositions. But God help you and me in the midst of those things, that we will learn how to commit ourselves to God. We are told by the Apostle Peter, in the face of these things, to sanctify the Lord God in your heart. And when opposition, when persecution, when reviling, when threatenings, And all these things come, God help you and me to learn how to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts.
Amen.
And to behave ourselves in a commendable and honorable way. He committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. He had power to call on his Father, and presently there'd be more than 12 legions of angels come to his assistance to deliver him out of the hands of wicked men. But he just committed himself to his Father for the will of God to be done in that. Now, he didn't only commit himself, but he committed them other folks to God too. They were doing great wrong, but he just committed them to God. And just committed himself to God. The whole situation to God. We are sometimes quick to rise up in our own defense. Especially if we feel that we have a pretty good case. And if we feel that we're being misrepresented and falsely accused. Sometimes we are quick to rise up in our own defense. We lack in that ability to commit ourselves to God. Now, Jesus committed himself unto him that judgeth righteously. And we can depend upon it, whatever is happening to us, however people are treating us, God is going to judge righteously. Just turn it over to him. Commit ourselves to God. Commit our persecutors to God. Commit the situation to God. Let God handle it according to his own will and wisdom. Now, I've got a conviction in my heart, and I've related this many times, but I still have it. And that is that God is looking for a people in this world that will meet their problems on a different plane to what the man of the world meets his. And behave himself in a different way to what the man of the world behaves under provocation and pressure. Now, the man of the world, if he sees a chance to get even somewhere on down the line where somebody that's done him some kind of wrong, well, he just gets even. That's all, but we can't do that. I was listening one time to testimonies in a prayer meeting down at Pacoima, and the line of the testimonies seemed to be running along that line about the trials that different ones had had and the pressures that came against them. And I listened about so long, and then I thought, well, now, what about this? Now, the Bible says there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. Everybody's having similar trials and conditions to what I'm having, see. But now here's the saints just talking quite a bit about their trials and the pressures that came against them. But you don't hear the man of the world talking much about that. Now what's the matter here? The Lord done it to me that night that the supreme test of the saints came in keeping their souls pure while they're facing these things. It isn't just that they're facing these things, but coming through them clean. Now, the man of the world doesn't worry anything about that. He isn't thinking anything about that. If he sees a chance to get even, he just gets even. And thinks that's all right, thinks nothing of it. But we can't do that. God's Word teaches us against retaliation. And we can't keep our souls pure and do that, see. And the man of the world, if he wants to hate someone, He just hates them. Thinks nothing of it. Look what they did to me. But we can't hate anybody. We have to keep the love of God in our heart. Right? While they're doing these things to us. And the man of the world, if he's got an enemy, he deals with him like an enemy. But we can't do that. We are required to love our enemies. Do good to them that hate us and pray for them that despitefully use us and cast our name out as evil. We can't do like the man of the world does. Therefore, what we need to do is to learn to commit ourselves to God and sanctify the Lord God in our hearts and humble our hearts and seek grace in our souls to go through our tests and trials just exactly like a Christian should, manifesting nothing at all but the meekness and gentleness of Christ from first to last. Just glorifying God in our hearts, in our lives. Jesus showed us how to do it. He said, we were called to this. Let us not think it strange when these things happen. We're called to this. But now, in the midst of all of this, he went right in and showed us just how to do it. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Get in there and live with Jesus for a while and get acquainted with him and learn how to do the things that he would have us to do. Now Jesus, we are told in the second chapter of Philippians, about verse 6, this thought would begin, I believe. He was in the form of God, but he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took on him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself some more now. That was a great condescension to come from the glory of heaven down here into this valley of confusion and sin that existed in this world and take on him the likeness of human flesh. That was a great condescension. But in that state and condition, he humbled himself some more yet and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus knew how to humble himself. He knew how to submit to his Father. He knew how to trust his Father's righteousness and righteous judgment and respect his Father's will. We need to learn that, folks. We need to learn to trust our Heavenly Father's judgment and his righteous will and respect his doings in our lives. I'm sure I've told you about the brother over in Missouri. Gaines was his name. He had several children, quite a little family of children. He said in all of their bringing up of their children, he and his wife had always worked together in that. And he said whenever one of them started to discipline one of the children, the other one never did interfere. Just stayed out of it. And he said if either one of us thought the other one got a little bit out of line in disciplining one of the children, when we were alone by ourselves, we'd talk that over. That's good policy for you and me too. But anyway, he said his oldest son, he was getting way on up there. He was in his teens, I think. He got so far out of line one time that Brother Gaines said, I had to do something with him. So he told him, said, son, I'm going to whip you for that now. So they went out to the woodshed together, and he said, that time my wife interfered. First time it had ever happened, but said she come out there and says, Daddy says you ought not to do that. Said that's too much like whipping a man. He was a big boy now. And that boy that was going to get that whipping turned to his mother and said, Mother, you go on back to the house now and stay out of this. Says, Daddy knows what he's doing. He trusted his father's judgment, wisdom. He just submitted himself and took his whipping. Now, I thought, God help us. That we would humbly recognize and submit ourselves that our Heavenly Father knows what He's doing. Whatever is happening to us or He's permitting to happen to us in any kind of way, He knows what He's doing. And let us learn to trust in His wisdom and righteous judgment and obey Him. Amen. Commit ourselves to Him. Trust in Him to bring all things to pass according to His own will and wisdom in our lives. Now Jesus knew how to humble Himself, but is that the end of it? No, He said in verse 5, He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We are supposed to learn from Him and His example how to humble ourselves, how to submit ourselves, commit ourselves to God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Then goes ahead to describe how he was in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and so on. But just emptied himself, made himself of no reputation, our Bible says. Other translations say he emptied himself. He took on him the likeness of men. He knew how to do that. You and I need to know how to do that too. And we'll learn how to do that by just watching Him good and close in all of His dealings with humankind. Now the reward of that was that God highly exalted Him, gave Him a name which is above every name. That was the reward for His humility. There's great reward in it, folks. We kind of draw back from it. We kind of shrink from the idea of humbling ourselves. But there's great reward in it when you graciously do it. In 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter and the 9th verse, He says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that though He were rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that we through His poverty might be rich. Now He passed the riches on to us. And the way I think of that text at this moment is, we through His poverty might be rich. In other words, by being a partaker of that spirit of lowliness and that grace of humility and submitting and humbling ourselves, coming right down in the same channel with our Lord Jesus Christ, He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And as we are a partaker of His poverty of spirit, we become poor in spirit ourselves and graciously humble ourselves and submit ourselves to our Heavenly Father and to His will. We become fabulously rich in the things of God and divine grace. Now the Apostle Paul said in the 6th chapter of 2 Corinthians, I believe, we find this. He said, as poor, yet making many rich. Now we, through Christ's poverty, are made rich. But this passes right on down to Christ's disciples also. Paul is speaking of himself here. He says, as poor, yet making many rich. By his becoming poor, humble, lowly, he was able, through the grace of God, to make many rich. We have a text in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and verse 33. Says, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit. See how poor he was getting here? Just laying aside all of his profit, things that would be profit to him, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they might be saved. As poor, yet making many rich. And folks, let me tell you, as you and I learn to graciously humble our hearts and submit ourselves and become lowly in our minds and keep ourselves committed to God and trusting in Him for His righteous judgment and His holy will in our lives, God will use us as a means, a channel, an instrument of making many souls rich, blessing many souls. I referred last Sunday, I believe, to the text in the 26th chapter of Matthew, where Jesus held the cup in his hand and he gave thanks. It was a cup of death, his own death. It was a cup of blood, his own blood. It was a cup of suffering, his own suffering. It was a cup with the shadow of the cross over it, his own cross. But he gave thanks. He was thankful that he had blood coursing in his veins that was efficacious to make an atonement for sin. God help you and me that we may learn from him, be a partaker of his spirit and of his life, to the point that when we see any sacrifice that we can make or anything that we can do that will bless and perhaps save another soul, we'll be thankful for the opportunity. Oh, you say, thankful to make a great sacrifice? Yes, if it's going to bless or maybe save another soul, be thankful that I'm in a position where I can make this sacrifice, where I can do this thing. God has to have someone in this world to carry on his work. He carried it on through Jesus, but he took Jesus away out of this world and left a body of Christ here, the church, the people of God, you and me, to carry on his work. It has to be carried on in the same atmosphere and under the same conditions and in the same spirit that Jesus carried it on when he was here. In 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, I used this text a short while back here, this passage, in connection with another thought of the death life, but it fits here right well on the thought of being poor yet making many rich. 9th chapter, beginning the 9th verse, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. See how poor he was willing to become? Free from all men, but willingly he made himself servant to everybody. Servant unto all. You remember Jesus said, he that would be chief among you, let him be your servant. And he that would be greatest among you, let him be your minister. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister. And to give his life a ransom for all. My text says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Why learn of him? Because he was leading the way. He was living like he wanted you and me to live in this world. By looking at him, we learn how to do it. I remember one time Opal got up at Monarch Springs to bring a message, and it was along this line, and she said, folks, she said, I want to be great and I want to be chief. What? Did you? Well, folks looked kind of cross-eyed at her for a little bit. But when she began to line out that life of service that goes along with being chief, and that life of ministering to the needs of the people around us that goes along with being great, it all came out all right. Sounded a little ambiguous to get up and say, I want to be great and I want to be the chief. But it turns out that the one that can do the best service is going to be the chief, be the best servant. And the one that can minister the greatest to the needs of the people around him, he's going to be great in the kingdom of God. And Jesus just told them, he was showing them the way through. He says, I'm like that. You call me Lord and Master, but I'm like that. I came not to be ministered to, but to minister. And to give my life a ransom for all. Now we are told in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, in the 16th verse, he says, herein perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Is that the end of it? No, he said we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. He's showing us the way through. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He came not to be ministered to, but to minister. And to give his life a ransom for all. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now there's been a time when that was done literally. And there were numbers of times recorded that when in the times of the Inquisitions, they came in to arrest people for being Christians. And if those who were stronger had some kind of a doubt in their mind about whether this one or that one would be able to face up to this or not, thought maybe they were kind of weak, they just purposely throwed themselves in the path of the arresters, persecutors, to shield those that they thought might not be able to face up to that. Now, we don't have to do that today. Conditions are not constituted such in our land today that we have to do that. In some lands it is. We don't know how soon it might be in this land. But it isn't that way in this land now. And we don't have to literally lay down our lives for the brethren, but God help us to learn that this is a way of service, and that every one of us should hour by hour, day by day, minute by minute, be laying down our lives in service to our brethren and our fellow men. Denying ourselves. It is said in the 15th chapter of Romans in verse 3 that Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. That's a little bit hard to take, isn't it? But let us get in there and live with our Master and learn from him how to face the problems of life. When it comes to you bearing blame that doesn't belong to you, that's a little bit difficult, isn't it? That's a little bit hard to take. Not many folks will take it. But Jesus did, and he said, you just follow on through now. Well, does it stop there? Even Christ pleased not himself? No. The first verse says, we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us so please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ, our example, our pattern, our guide, the one that's showing us a way through, he didn't please himself. Folks, let me tell you something. When you have to have your own way, you need some saving. You surely do. When everything has to be cut out by your pattern, you just plain need some saving. When we are not able to submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God, people that can't do that need some saving. A lot of things people need to be saved from besides sin. One of them is ourselves. We need to be saved from ourselves. Having to have our own way. Everything cut by our pattern. We need to be saved from that. In order to follow the example that we have. Well, how poor was this man willing to get? He said, I just make myself servant to all, that I might gain the more. Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. Might call this the many-faceted life of the Apostle Paul. He summed it up by saying, I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. The first text said, as poor, yet making many rich. And this is just how poor he was. I just lay down my rights, my liberties, my freedoms, everything, and just adjust myself and fit myself to the community where I am and the people where I'm working, that I might gain the more. Said, this I do for the gospel's sake. To help the gospel. To give power and impetus to the gospel. learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. Jesus gave his life a ransom for all. And he said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Jesus said in the 12th chapter of John in verse 23, he said, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Does that hour ever come to you and me? Does it ever come our turn to glorify the Son of Man? To glorify our Christ? Does that time ever come in our lives anymore? I say, yes, it does. Then he said, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. That goes right along with Paul's statement, as poor, yet making many rich. Now Jesus spake this of himself. But in verse 25, he turns right around and applies it to us. He that loves his life shall lose it, but he that will hate his life in this world shall save it, or find eternal life, keep it unto life eternal. That's us he's talking about now. In other words, we join right in. Learn of me, he says. I'm showing you the way. I'm leading the way through. And he said, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abides alone. If it die, it brings forth much fruit. If we can become poor enough, we can make many rich. Bring forth much fruit. He that loves his life shall lose it. And I apply the thought here is, he that loves his self-life and having his own way and has his own self-planning and self-ambitions and self-aims in life, he that loves that, he's going to lose it. But he that will hate his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. In other words, he that's willing to die the death, die out to the self-life, the flesh life, the worldly life, having his own way, having everything cut by his own pattern or getting his feelings hurt. Listen, when you're going to make a success of living for God, you have to dispense with the luxury of getting your feelings hurt. Just rise above that. Maybe we abide so much alone because we're not dead enough. These folks came up and wanted to see Jesus. And this statement followed the report to Jesus, there's some Greeks here want to see you. They'd heard about him. People hearing about him on every hand today. What they want to see today is Jesus. Not just hear about him. We've heard of him. Job said he heard of God with the hearing of the ear, but now I see you with mine eye. People hear about Jesus. It's over the air today and in the pulpits throughout the land, and we preach and teach about Jesus and testify about him, but what folks are wanting to today is to see some Jesus. The only way they can see him is in you and me. Are behaving like Jesus behaved. Living like Jesus lived. We want to see Jesus. When they come in among us, can they see Jesus? Maybe we could attract more people to our midst if they could see more Jesus when they come in. That's what the world wants today, is to see Jesus. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And that's our business here. And if we lose our capacity and our ability and our will and our zeal to be a soul-saving institution, we have no excuse for our existence here. We just well close our doors and go our way. That's the only reason we're here. And Jesus is showing us how to do this. Amen.